Good afternoon. It is 2 p.m. in Muskegon. For those of you that do this on a regular basis, this is Community Focus at 103.7 The Beat. As you know, this program is hosted by my friend and brother Gregory T. Roberts and myself. Gregory T. is still recuperating. I appreciate you all sending out your prayers and best wishes to my brother until he's back in the studio with us. We have an exciting program for you today, but let's begin with our weather here in Muskegon. Today, there's a low of 43, partly cloudy, and a high of 54, and it does not get better. Saturday, we have a 50% chance of rain, low of 36, high of 44. Sunday, that's right, the white stuff is going to show up. We have a 75% chance of snow, low of 30, high of 38. Monday, low of 25, high of 36, and a 65% chance of snow. Tuesday, expected to be very windy, low of 33, high of 43. Wednesday, low of 40, high of 44. And next Thursday, low of 37, high of 43. So it is inevitable, folks, the snow is coming. Before we get to our guest today, I'm sure you all look forward to my five list. We used to call it the top five, but it could be any five, right? So, been a very political week. I thought I would help you all out because there's a lot of fake stuff going on out there. Five ways to confirm photo or quotes on social media. You may know these or use these, but just in case, for my friends that post things after seeing those little messages to say, hey, this isn't true, a couple of things. You can do a reverse engine search. Use things like Google Images or TenEye to upload and paste the URL image. You can help find the original source or context for an item. You can check credible fact checkers, Snopes, PolitiFact, factcheck.org, Reuters. Check the sources, make sure what you're stating is a fact. And you can also look for quotation marks. That's a dead giveaway. You can look for the primary source for the quotes as well. Look for transcripts, video recordings. Number four, you can use metadata content. I'm not that literate, but if you check your the images, there's information on the container for photo is original. If you look like it's your photos on your camera, you'll see it'll tell you when the photo was taken, the date you take it, and some other information. But for you folks that are sophisticated, you know what I'm talking about. Number five, it says use crowdsourced verification tools, platforms like Envid for video images and Hoaxy for tracking misinformation that's being spread. And the bottom line, folks, you know, we all complain about the media. Once you get on social media, you are the media. So let's be responsible users of our social media as well. All right. That is our five list for today. Now, the real reason you all come to this program, of course, is not to hear me, but to see what exciting guests we have for you. And today's show will not disappoint. I want to introduce to you folks, if you don't know them already, to my immediate left, we have Todd Jacobs, the president, CEO.
Yes, thank you.
The Muskegon Community Foundation.
Yeah,
and Janelle Mayer.
Mm-hmm. Vice President of Community Investment.
Okay, if I was a better radio host, I would have had those titles memorized.
Gives us something to say.
Welcome to the program.
Yeah, thank you very much, Melvin. It's good to see you.
Good to see you as well, both of you. Begin, would you just tell folks a little bit about yourself?
Individually, in terms
yes,
of
Yes, individually, yeah. And then we just introduce the foundation to people that may not be aware of.
Sure. I am Todd Jacobs. I returned to Muskegon in 2019. To be part of the Community Foundation for Muskegon County. The Community Foundation, we've been blessed. We've been around since 1961. We're located in downtown Muskegon in the Frauenthal building. We actually own the Frauenthal. The Frauenthal is part of our commitment to the community. Individuals have made donations to us throughout the years. Those monies have been wisely invested in. We reallocate that in the forms of scholarships and grants to community members and organizations. So that's a real brief, quick commercial on what we are.
Sure. Hi, Melvin. Janelle Mayer. So I have been with the Community Foundation since 2011, 15 years now. Mm-hmm. Born and raised in Muskegon County, grew up in Montague, actually live there now. So I represent the northern side of the county here. But I'm glad to be here with you today.
Good. Yeah. Well, we always have a lot going on with the foundation, but we have a big gathering coming up. next week.
Yeah, and it's close. Yes, and it's on the 19th. So just around the corner.
Yes. Let's talk about the annual gathering and what will be taking place.
Yeah, that's great. Yeah, so every fall we have our annual gathering. This year it's Wednesday, November 19th. Mm-hmm. It's held in the Frauenthal, and it's an opportunity for the community to come together. We, over the various years, we've had different kinds of programs. But one of the big things that we do on that day is we also lift up a community member or members that have really created a lasting impact on the community. And so we give out our annual impact award. And so this year, our 2025 impact award recipients will be Dr. Richard and Nancy Peters. Okay. And I imagine many folks know them. They've certainly been very active individuals for many, many years, providing leadership and service, certainly very involved with the Coalition for Community Development, and with Carrie over there, helping with the gardens, helping around literacy programs, and have just been wonderful advocates around learning and great community supporters. So we look forward to celebrating their many contributions that day at that event. So they're presented with an award at that event.
Great. Now, the event takes place where?
Yeah, it's going to be at the Frauenthal. It starts at, the doors open at 4:30, and then the actual program will start at 5:30. And we'll have drinks are available and snacks. We're actually working with the restaurants from the Vault downtown.
Okay.
And so each of those smaller businesses will be providing food. We've asked them to do the catering.
Okay.
And so I think we're doing, I think we have some kind of tacos from one of the establishments. I know we've got grits and shrimp from another one of the establishments.
Spring rolls, I think.
Spring rolls. Yep. And so it's just, I mean, you know, the Vault downtown at the Core Plaza.
Yes,
and they've got a lot of variety of different kinds of foods. And so we'll have that. And again, that's free. And there'll be beverages that are available. And then at 5:30, we'll go into the Frauenthal Theater to begin the event.
Okay. Now, who can attend this event?
Everybody in the community is invited to come. It can be, you know, individuals that may know the Peters. It could be somebody. You can have, if you've got nothing to do on Wednesday the 19th and you have never been to the Frauenthal, come on down and here's a chance for you to see it. It's really meant to be a community event. One of the program that we're focusing on this year is we decided to do a panel.
Okay.
There's just a lot of very positive things going on throughout Muskegon County. And so we thought, you know, the best way to get that word out is to have a robust panel to talk about some of these investments.
So that's something new you're going to do this year, the panel?
Yeah, this year will be the first time we've done a panel in several years. And so Matt Cortez from the Superintendent of Muskegon Public Schools will be there.
Yes.
And he'll be speaking about sort of some of the new programming that they're doing with the Ford Foundation and some other innovative programming.
Yeah, I've interviewed a couple of times. That's kind of amazing what they're doing.
Yeah, so that's great. And we want to make sure the community is fully aware of that.
Yes.
John Rooks, who owns Parkland Properties. So John's going to be talking about the renovations at the Shaw.
Yes, I'll be
interested. And they will actually soon be closing on what used to be the Sappy property.
Oh, okay.
And in the plan is that the first house will be built on the Sappy property, the former paper mill property, first part of next year.
Wow.
And so we'll learn about those plans.
Okay.
Amy Heiser, who's with Helma Aerospace, will be there. She's the head of HR there, and she's going to be talking about the investments that they've been making up in the White Lake area and with Plant 10 and just really why they choose to continue to reinvest in Muskegon County and grow the workforce there. I'm excited to have Jeanette Hoyer there. She's the executive director of Goodwill. And Jeanette's going to be speaking about some of the workforce and workplace housing and not housing, workforce development that they're doing there. I said Janelle sort of jokingly and inadvertently, but Janelle sits on the board for Goodwill as well. So, but we're so thankful to have Jeanette there, and Goodwill does some wonderful programs, but really works a lot with individuals to help them increase their skills and become employable, and to learn about those programs and those opportunities will be helpful. And certainly, Melvin, you know from all of your various roles, the role that Representative Will Snyder has played in the most recent few years in terms of significant investments in Muskegon from the state, from the state level. And so he'll be talking about things that he's been working on with the other legislators, but also investments and opportunities that he sees that might be coming our way here in Muskegon County.
Well, it's a tremendous opportunity to kind of get informed and learn what's going on in Muskegon County.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, so anybody can attend. Are you trying to get a count in advance where people pre-register?
So if you come across town and you see our flyer hanging up somewhere, there's a QR code on it, this side over here, and you can scan that. Or you can go to the Community Foundation's webpage, and it's muskegonfoundation.org, and there's a scrolling banner there. And you can just tap on it, and that'll let you RSVP. It's helpful because it gives us an idea of what the food count is going to be for the day. But if you don't do it and you just show up, that works out great too. One of the nice things is if you have questions for these folks, if you go to the webpage and you log on in the RSVP, you can actually pose questions before the event. And so then we can make sure that we work them into the queue or bring those questions up early on as part of the panel discussion.
Awesome. Great. Well, Janelle, we're not going to get out of here without talking a little bit.
Yeah.
I mean, you guys do so many things at the foundation that we don't know. Maybe some folks aren't aware of. What are the things that are going on at the foundation?
Yeah, so the big thing right now is it's what we call scholarship season. November 1st, our general scholarship application opened, and our scholarship team is out and about almost daily talking to students and schools about the opportunities for scholarships through the Community Foundation. So we operate one of the largest scholarship programs in the county, second only to the Muskegon Promise, which is a great program. But through our scholarship program, we're able to support all sorts of students who are looking to continue their education. So graduating seniors, current college students, adult students, and beyond have the opportunity to apply for support through one general application through the Community Foundation, again, found at muskegonfoundation.org. And that one general application puts them in the running for scholarships from over 200 funds, and it's over $1 million we award on any annual basis to support students, again, at all different levels with all different interests. The beauty of our scholarship program is it's not set up just to support the top achieving students. Certainly there's opportunities for those students, and we welcome them to apply, but we have donors who've started funds who care about students who have all different interests, skill sets, and contributions to community. So we have scholarships for students who are going into the trades, for auto mechanics. We have one that's so specific, it's for students who are interested in playing the pipe organ. There are opportunities for, again, when we say all interests, we really mean that. So we encourage all students who are looking to continue their education to explore that opportunity and apply, because we might have a scholarship for them. It's, you know, over 500 students every year who receive support from the Community Foundation.
That's really good. You know, when you say scholarship, everybody thinks, you know, top five Ivy League or Michigan or something. So hopefully folks will, when I know your team is getting out to the schools and other community organizations, they'll take a few minutes. And
They actually started the presentations this week, yesterday.
Yeah, we were in Oak Ridge yesterday, and there's, I think, Reese Puffer next week. We're going to hit up all the schools. We've been at MCC. I'm glad to talk to anybody who has, you know, any interest in learning more about our scholarship program.
Now, is there a deadline where you have to for replying?
Yes. February 1st, the deadline on that application. So plenty of time to get that application in. And our team's always glad to answer any questions or support anybody through that process.
Great. And if folks have questions about the scholarship program,
They can call the Community Foundation. Again, head to our website where all our contact information is, or shoot an email to scholarships@muskegonfoundation.org. But really, there's no wrong way to get an answer. Reach out and we'll get you to the right person. And we don't just have scholarships for students that are following a traditional path through education. You know, we recognize there's an awful lot of individuals who are adults who are now going back to complete their degree. And we have many scholarship opportunities for those adults as well. It's through a separate scholarship application. So our general application is for graduating seniors, current college students, or folks that are, you know, currently in their college years, but for adult students who are have returned to complete their degree or are just starting now, there's an adult student application as well that's open and has a rolling deadline because we recognize the needs of our adult students may not come on the traditional timeline that you see through a traditional educational program. So that's an opportunity that we encourage, again, anyone who is looking to complete their degree to apply through that.
Awesome. You know, you, again, I happen to have worked with you all on some other capacities, but there's just a lot of things that the foundation is involved in the community. Since we have an opportunity and a little bit of time, maybe talk about some of the other things the foundation has been involved in maybe over the past couple of years.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you, Melvin. Sure. Certainly some of the work that we've been more closely familiar with is some of the some of the things that are going on in Muskegon Heights right now. And we had nothing to do with the roads being paved, but isn't it great to drive down Broadway right now?
Well, you know, it's funny. I was crossing Peck and Broadway today, and it's like there were no cars. And I'm thinking, like, either people are scared or they think it's a trick, but Broadway is open. So, but use it.
Yes, it is great to have that improvement. But one of the things that we worked on with you is that the Community Foundation with the city and as well as Greater Muskegon Economic Development applied for up to $1 million grant we received for helping renovate part of Rowan Park. And so by Memorial Day of next year, there will be a water, you know, sort of a water feature or a splash pad in Rowan Park for the community to enjoy. And certainly there are other park improvements. There will be new public facilities there. And we're trying to run down some money so that we can get a playground put in there as well, a new playground put in there as well. So we're trying to do some of that work. We've been involved with some of the facade improvements with grants for the facades there in proximity to Rowan Park on Broadway and within the Muskegon Heights DDA in downtown area. And certainly, you know, hope that that can start to be part of the catalyst. And then from a housing standpoint, a few years ago, we've all started talking about that there's this great need for housing. We know that we need 9,000 units across the entire county. And so we've launched a housing initiative, and we're trying to, you know, catalyze housing throughout Muskegon County. And this is really, how do we help individuals create home ownership? How do we begin to fill some of those gaps? And do you want to talk maybe a little bit about the housing initiative and just how we might be able to partner with nonprofit organizations, churches, developers, things of that sort?
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, as Todd said, after we received the results of the housing study that indicated there's just really a dramatic need for housing units across the entire housing spectrum, our board dedicated some resources towards the effort. And so we have a grant pool of $1 million that we are able to deploy to help create and increase housing accessibility, affordability, and availability countywide, but also with a specific focus on opportunities that might exist within Muskegon County. And so through that, we've been having fantastic conversations with a variety of nonprofit partners, again, that are interested in housing at all price points across the spectrum, but that are also interested in offering some of the education that's necessary to help facilitate, you know, home ownership. So there's a lot that goes into owning a home and doing so successfully or becoming a first-time home buyer. And so we've had some conversations with nonprofits that are looking at opportunities to develop the financial literacy education that needs to be in place, maybe some of the credit counseling, and then just the homeowner education that sets those residents up for success.
Is this a new area, the housing for the foundation?
It's more recent, absolutely. I think certainly there's been need, but in the last 5 years, I think folks have begun to recognize that in a much more intensive kind of way. And 3 years ago, being led through by our strategic plan has really got us sort of saying, you know, folks need to have an opportunity to have home ownership. We need to make sure that we've got places for individuals to live. And when you've got a gap, 9,000 is a lot, seems like a lot, right? I mean, even if you're able to fill a portion of that, it makes home ownership or, you know, a safe place for somebody to live more meaningful for them and their families. And is we're trying to recruit folks to come to Muskegon County to work in our businesses and organizations. It's important to be able to have a place for them to also call home, right?
Yes.
And so it is a newer focus for us. I think the idea of lifting individuals up has always been at the heart of what the Community Foundation's work is at, it's been targeted at.
Okay. Were you aware of other foundations in Michigan that had kind of gotten into this area of housing?
Yeah, there are other community foundations that have realized that for things to move in their respective communities, that they needed to be part of the groups who are helping to catalyze or lead the discussion. And so when I returned to Muskegon in 2019 and started talking with the folks, businesses, individuals, folks were talking about the housing, and everybody was talking about the housing, but nobody was meeting to talk about the housing. So that's one of the things where we're fortunate in that is the Community Foundation. We're able to convene folks and bring groups of people together, and we're a trusted partner in that regard. And so that really is how this began. We started to convene folks from all the municipalities, cities, townships, and things of that sort. And through that, we discovered that we needed to do a housing assessment. So we did the housing assessment. After that, we said, okay, now what do we now need? We need actually somebody at the county, somebody that can support the municipalities as they look at rezoning or zoning considerations, as well as somebody that can work with developers around incentives and, you know, and moving projects forward. And so we've partnered with the county to hire Jennifer Hodges, who's the countywide housing coordinator. So she's able to help folks that are looking at developing housing developments and things of that sort. And so then the next phase after that became this idea of now how do we provide resource in terms of loans and grant dollars to support these projects and to get them off the ground.
Okay. You know, in the late 90s when I was doing economic development, they didn't talk about housing. You know, we knew housing was significant, but it wasn't talked about as part of economic development.
Yeah.
And to see now, you know, it's at the forefront, you know, MEDC is involved. Just it seems like, gee, why do we not talk about it more? But it's good to see we marry the two in Muskegon County. We talk about growth, you know, comes like how matter involved and paying attention to those issues, you know, because again, you want people to be able to live somewhere where they can get to work.
Exactly.
And so it's good to, it's a good progression to see, and to see you all to be able to bring people to the table to talk about that in our community.
Yeah. I think we just had reached a point where there's such a shortage in housing supply that folks are saying, we need to be more intentional, and really it does impact economic development. You know, if you can't have a place for the workers to live, you know, and they're all commuting, so they choose to commute in, you know, that puts a strain on other infrastructures. And certainly we want people to live into sort of, if you're, you know, you make your earning here, you're able to reinvest it in small businesses, and then that reinvigorates, you know, other areas as well. It just sort of helps everybody in the community to continue to prosper. So
yeah, I think, you know, Amy Heiser will share that story at our annual gathering around the number of new hires that they need at Helmet and what that looks like for housing for, you know, the workers at all different levels they're going to be bringing into our community. So it's it matters to our local businesses, and it matters to the residents.
Yeah, I think that'll really be all the speakers, but I think to hear them in particular talk about the job growth again, and we want people in our community, you know, and how much been a good community partner. So to have a company that's investing in that same area, I think folks will want to hear that.
Yeah, absolutely. I know in speaking with Amy recently that they've got over 300 vacancies at Helmet.
Wow.
We know that from the work that John Rooks is going to be doing with the Shaw, that once the Shaw is completed and as that work develops, that there'll be a couple of hundred people that'll be needed to help build and then to maintain jobs in that area. There are several businesses in town that, you know, that have vacancies. And so just that awareness, and then to make sure that, again, that there is are safe places where folks can live, that they can have a house that is state, you know, that, you know, you have to be concerned that it's going to fall down on you, right? And I think that's important. That's part of some of the grant pieces that we're looking at, is how do we help alleviate blight, or how do we restore homes that maybe have fallen into disrepair so that we can lift that up and make that, again, part of a viable housing option here in Muskegon.
Yeah. We don't want to let you guys get away without talking about this. You know, last I heard, there wasn't a money tree that you guys pick money off of. The foundation is, of course, built upon generous donations. So talk a little bit about financial structure, funding, donations, sort of if people out there listening, they want to be a part of some of the tremendous things you're doing.
Sure. Yeah, as Janelle was referencing earlier, we've got many scholarship funds.
Yep.
So individuals, they can support any fund or effort. We've got several funds that are that benefit specific not-for-profits. Mm-hmm. And so they can donate to those, again, going to MuskegonFoundation.org. Or if an individual has a passion, and here's an example. My mother passed away unexpectedly mm-hmm. when she was in her 40s, and she cared greatly about kids and their education. Mm-hmm. And so we took that horrible event and said, you know what, let's create a fund that'll honor mom and what she would have wanted to see done. Mm-hmm. And so we created a fund that memorializes my mom, but the earnings from that every year supports literacy and programming for children. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, folks, if they have an interest in the environment or in the arts or in a particular agency or, you know, reading, they can create a fund. If they would like to simply support education, we've got funds that generally support education. Mm-hmm. Our goal is to build a long-term community resource. So the gifts mm-hmm. that we receive are endowed. That means they're saved. We mm-hmm. invest them, then we're using a portion of their earnings. And so it's those earnings that'll be here forever that we're able to continue to do the good work that we do. But more than willing to have conversations with folks, they can always call the foundation, 231-722-4538. Mm-hmm. And we're all going to, I mean, most of our staff will be at this event on November 19th. So you can actually come enjoy uh-huh. some good food and hear more about some of the investments being made in Muskegon on the 19th and talk to staff. And we can certainly answer any questions that folks may have around funds or donating or how they might be able to get involved in the community. But
I also feel my options. Little part of plugging. I had attended a great workshop on endowments, and, you know, folks often think, you know, well, I don't have hundreds of thousands or millions to donate. And, you know, that workshop on endowments is great for churches or community groups maybe that, you know, think you have to have a big pot of money. You can make commitments over time. And, again, things you might be interested in to make sure they're preserved in posterity. So it's a good workshop. I hope folks, if they're interested in, they'll give you guys a call.
Yeah.
Like I said, just a way to just support community and see some good being done. We never have enough time. Todd, Janelle, thank you all so much for joining us. The event is the 19th of November.
Yes.
5:30.
Doors open at 4:30. Okay. Program will start at 5:30. So if you want to get your share of the eats, I'd say get there between 4:30 and 5.
Yes.
And again, really, you know, we look forward to celebrating the Peters, but I also think we've got a great panel that'll provide some wonderful insights to reaffirm that the investments are being made throughout Muskegon County.
All right. Thank you all so much for joining us. Hey, please feel welcome to come back anytime. You want to update us on things going to Foundation, okay?
I appreciate it, Melvin.
Sounds good. Thanks, Melvin.
Good to see you, my friend.
Good to see you all. Folks, we're going to take a brief break, and we'll be back with our next guest. Good afternoon. Welcome back to Community Focus. This segment, you want to pay attention. I want you to join me in welcoming to the program three young ladies from Muskegon Young Black Professionals. All right. We have Ms. Kiara McCain, Ms. Riley Jackson, and Nicole Day. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Okay, so I have to kind of do this like when I have more than one person, I have to kind of manage this like a school teacher a little bit. So I'll try and do my best with this. First thing, Ms. Jackson, congratulations.
Thank you.
For those that don't know, Ms. Jackson was elected to the Muskegon City Commission on Wednesday. And we know it's not official yet, but you know, everything's done but the crying. So congratulations to you.
Thank you.
Now, I understand you ladies are here representing Muskegon Young Black Professionals. Is that correct?
Correct.
Oh, I'm in the right place then. Ms. McCain, tell us about this organization.
Why did you pick me to go first?
You're at the top of my screen.
Sure. So Muskegon Young Black Professionals was started in 2017 by our founder, Jocelyn Hines. And it was just kind of a space for Black professionals in Muskegon that were either coming back to the area or looking for, you know, opportunities, socializing, networking. And so she kind of created that space and got a board together to see the vision through.
Okay. I'm going to ask all you this question. Tell me about the need for an organization like this. I mean, you all are young, you're Black, and you're professional. So tell me why you felt like there was a need for an organization like this. I'll start with you, Ms. Day, then I'll go to you, Ms. Jackson.
Okay. There's a need for this organization because young professionals, young Black professionals, I should say, we don't always have the space to socialize and network with like-minded people, you know, and it's also a safe space. A lot of times being in, you know, corporate America or whatever your career path is, whatever your career journey is, you don't always have, you're not always afforded a safe space to just be your unapologetic self. And the Muskegon Young Black Professionals creates a social networking space for people to do just that.
Okay. Ms. Jackson, anything you want to add to that?
I would say exactly the same as Nicole said. We foster a sense of belonging in our community that not every person gets in their workplace. It's a place where we don't always have to be on all the time. You know, we're obviously young professionals who are navigating different types of workplaces because professional means different things to everybody. We accept all different types of people who work in all different types of workplaces. It's not just people who are working in corporate America or people who are working, you know, the traditional 9-to-5. It's all different types of workplaces. So we know that, especially our board, we all have different work lives. So we know that when we're having our social hours or whether it's our award ceremony, that when people are coming to spend time with us, that they can decompress, that it's just socializing, and that it's not something where they feel like they have to be on their best behavior. You know, they can be they can be relaxed. They feel they can be themselves.
Yeah, I certainly understand. Now, one of you all's signature events is coming up this weekend. Ms. McCain, you want to tell us about that event?
Sure. We are having our fifth annual Shades of Excellence Awards ceremony. And this was an award ceremony that we started in 2021, I believe. Just kind of an event. It's also a fundraiser event for us for honoring individuals in our in Muskegon. We also have a category for people who are from Muskegon who don't currently live in Muskegon, but just to honor those professionals of color, to kind of give them their flowers and to show them that, you know, they're important.
Okay. And the event takes place where, what time, all the, sure. the details. Yeah.
So the event takes place this Saturday, which is, mm-hmm. is it the 8th tomorrow, at the Farnthaw Center. And it will start at 6 p.m., I believe. There's a strolling dinner beforehand where you can kind of, you know, walk around, socialize, get food. And then the actual award ceremony is going to start at 7:30. And so there we will have, I believe we have 9 or 10 different categories. So we honor people based on those different categories. And then the recipient will receive an award. With it being our fifth year, we normally have it at the Folkert. So we wanted to kind of you know, do it big this year, have it at the Frauenthal. And we also are giving away some professional development scholarships this year. So that's something that we're doing different this year. So I think that it'll be a good turnout. It's usually a sold out event. So yeah, we encourage everybody to come out and have a good time.
Okay, today is the 7th. Are folks still able to get tickets for the event?
For sure. Yep. They can go to the box office today. I believe they close at 4:45. It will be open tomorrow before showtime. And there's also a link that we can provide you all. It's on our Facebook page as well as our website. So tickets definitely are still available and they are $60.
Okay. Ms. Day, what are some of the other events that are sponsored by the Young Black Professionals throughout the year?
So throughout the year, we do a host of socializing and networking events, as well as professional development. And this past year, we've held a brunch that focused on mortgage and housing resources. We've done a Black author showcase. We do skill building, such as interviewing, wage negotiation. We've done, just recently, we've done an estate planning event with T. Smith. Mm-hmm. We also do a host of just socializing events, such as we meet up to go bowling, or we meet up, you know, at a bar for, you know, happy hour. So we do a socializing event like every fourth Friday. But we try to do career development at least once a quarter.
Okay. And I guess I didn't ask this. What are the requirements for joining the organization?
There's no requirement to join our organization. Like, we don't have a roster or a membership. Anybody can feel free to come out and socialize and network with us. We are open to everybody. You actually don't even have to be a Black person to come out and socialize or network with us. It's just a space that we've created to be open for people to come out and feel comfortable to engage. So there's no membership. You can always visit our webpage or our Facebook page for events. We all share posts and things of all the activities that we do. So anybody can come out and be a part.
Okay. I know you guys mentioned, we got a comment from Mr. Michael Anthony Smith, who's a regular listener down in Texas. He just wanted to, he said nice as a compliment to you all and your organization and things you're all doing. I'm aware of your event. You have a number of categories where you have the nominees, but the awards are announced the night of the event. Is that correct? Okay.
That's correct.
Is it the, and then the main award, does that already know who that is, or do you have to be there to find out who that is?
Go ahead, Kiara.
Oh, I guess I was going to ask for clarifying. You said for the actual recipient of the category, or
yes,
a specific? Yep. So
I'm going to have it mixed up with a Brevet prior because I was doing another interview, but you have several categories where you have nominees, correct?
Correct. So if I could maybe explain the process a little bit. So what we do is we do a call for nominations, usually in the beginning of the year. So that is an opportunity for anybody who finds anybody that fits in any of the criteria for any of the awards to fill out a nomination form to recommend somebody. After we get all of the nominations, we usually have a selection committee. They go through the nominations, they score them, and then two finalists are chosen. Okay. And then the night of the award is when the actual recipient is announced. So, so that's pretty much how the process goes. So, yeah, you kind of have to be there the night of to find out who the recipient is.
Okay.
We do have one category that we announce ahead of time, and that is our lifetime achievement. And this year it's going to be Mr. Robert Moore. So,
That's right. Tremendous awardee to be receiving a honor again. Those of us from Muskegon Heights, so Muskegon County, know Mr. Moore, and it's good to see him getting his flowers while he's still
absolutely. We're super excited about that. About this, it's pretty special.
Oh, so you guys aren't going to make him work as in players that night, are you?
Of course we are.
Mr. Boyd, because he has a good sense of humor, Bob, but I'm sure he'll have something humorous to say about that.
Yeah.
Good. Give folks an idea what some of those categories that you're nominated folks in.
There's emerging professional, which is a category of a young person who's been seen in the community and is just starting out in their profession. There's homegrown hero, which is somebody who's been doing a lot of work within the community. They've been more settled in their profession and has just been seen as doing a lot of like philanthropic, giving back to the community type work. There's a correct me if I'm wrong. It's my first year on the board. So okay. Correct me if I'm wrong, either one of you. It's the over 45 age one for male or female, right?
Distinguished excellence.
Yeah. Distinguished excellence. Yeah. Category as well. And then the lifetime achievement award. Yeah, the transplant. So somebody who was not born in Muskegon, but they've done a lot to change in our community. Especially in their profession. Those are just a couple of categories.
Good. Let me ask you, ladies, what do you do with your professions, if you don't mind me asking?
So I am a, I work for GE Aerospace, so I am a buyer there. So I buy airplane parts and kind of supply chain planning, that type of thing.
Mm-hmm. Ms. Day?
My title is a little bit of a handful. I am a business controls associate for the corporate office of Fifth Third Bank, which means that I mitigate risk for the bank, put all the compliance and legalities into place and all of the risk and controls.
Okay. And Ms. Jackson?
Well, as you said earlier, I'm a commissioner elect. So that's like my public service role. And then my day job is I'm a recovery court specialist for the county. So I aid the case managers in all of the cases. And we work for Judge Matthew Casel. And we service around a little under 100 of our participants. And if they're convicted of a felony and they struggle with a substance use disorder, they can be sentenced into our recovery court program. And once they've successfully completed our program, they can get the felony removed off their record.
Okay, thank you. And I ask you for all of you all that sort of specific reason. You know, back in my day, you know, one of the last things you wanted to do as a young professional was return to Muskegon. And again, I can recall going to other communities and it was like, well, how do you interact with other Black professionals? So one, I want to make our listening audience aware of you ladies and the professions you do. And the other is just for, you know, we get folks listening to this program from everywhere. And so just to make them kind of aware of some of the folks here in Muskegon and what they do, have you all encountered, as your organization, other professors have moved to Muskegon looking for organizations like yours?
I would say yes. During a lot of our social networking events, I know we previously had an event at the museum where I talked to a number of people that were from all over the place that were from Muskegon, but came back and came out to just speak with us and to see what was going on in their community. Even people that are from here that have moved away, they still usually have roots or ties or people that are still here. So they're still interested in what's going on in Muskegon. I mean, you never know who's going to return and for what reason and when. So yeah, we do have people that come back to engage us. So hopefully it presents an opportunity for people to come back to the community and get back.
Yeah. There's some of that desire to kind of be around people so that like-minded, professional, you know, you kind of desire that no matter what community you're in. And I think for a long time, we kind of just assume everybody here was from here and you just hung around family, which, you know, we do that, but you kind of want peers, professional peers. So I was glad to see that you all have this organization up and running. What are some of the things you know, are you all a board member? Is that correct?
Correct.
Yes.
Okay. What are some of the things y'all have on the drawing board for the future?
That's a good question. I know that we talked about kind of tapping in more to the younger generation. Like mm-hmm. a lot of the events that we have, we noticed like maybe the mid professional comes. And so I think that one, Kylie was a great asset to our board for that, to kind of engage like the younger audience. So I know that we intend to do more with, we'll say like maybe the 18 to 25 age range.
Okay.
Yeah. A lot of, I think a lot of that is, especially with me working for the county, I recognize a lot of that. There's a large age gap in professions right now, where it's a lot of the I would say Gen Zers and then millennials and Gen Xers in the workforce right now. So I would say, I think that's a lot of our goal, like our long-term goals are to connect those generations. And I think a lot of it is like reaching out to the colleges, locally, obviously MCC, but a lot of what I do is just reaching out to people who I know, like, why don't you come to some of our events? I'm always dragging somebody with me to our events and bringing it up to anybody, like, you know, I'm a board member and this is, you know, all the great things that we do. It's real chill. Like, that's what the aspect I love so much about MYPP is, like, it is so laid back. Like,
okay.
You come, you relax, you socialize. It's not your traditional networking setting where you have to feel like, obviously we come, we're dressed professionally and like it is a professional type setting, but it's relaxed. You don't have to feel so much pressure on your shoulders. When you walk into the room, you're welcomed. It we were talking to at our last social event, Headshot Happy Hour, where we gave out 50 free headshots to the first 50 people who came. And she was saying, she loves that it feels like family. Like, we're giving hugs to people who come in, like whether you've been to 5 events or if you've been to 25, it's like you're very welcomed in, like you've just been known for the whole entire time.
Sure.
That's what we want people to know.
Let me I'm sorry, go ahead.
I was going to say, just to expound upon your question a little bit, some of the things that we look forward to doing is just is to bridge the gap from our young people to exposing them to different careers, like atypical careers. Like Kiara is, you know, she's a purchaser, which like we often hear, our young people often hear about being a teacher or a doctor or a lawyer. But some of the things that we have goals to do is to continue to hold development programs that will open our youth up and show them and help them to experience different career paths, because not everybody goes to college and gets a higher degree. So that is definitely an untapped area for us that we are looking to expound upon, up on top of, you know, continuing our financial literacy and professional development as we've done in the past 7 years. So just to expound a little bit up on that.
Okay. Let me ask you a question, if I can try to phrase this where it makes sense. And Ms. Stassi, you know, you talk, and all of you have kind of mentioned this environment of being around other professionals. Could you maybe put in words, which I think is still maybe a challenge, is to be a young person of color or a person of color working in a professional environment by day and needing that release or that break from that environment where you have to be who you are and represent who you are as a minority. Now, is that question make sense to you?
Absolutely.
Okay. So you're
first. It's something that we discuss often. I know in my profession, working in banking and along climbing the corporate ladder is not too often I see people that look like me. So as Kylie mentioned earlier, we have to always be on. We have to do twice as much as most people to get half of what they got. So that's exhausting. When I'm done being on and being her at work, sometimes I need a space. Sometimes I need to come to my family in this organization and say, hey, I was tired today. They wore me out. And I need a safe space to be able to say, hey, I don't always feel like being on. That was exhausting, but I'm going to go back and do it again. And sometimes we just need that space to have to be able to encourage each other to keep going.
Good.
I think it's also important to have those kind of conversations with people who may be experiencing the same thing. So maybe they have experienced like an issue that you're experiencing at work, and they can kind of help you navigate it. So sometimes you just need a soundboard. Sometimes you need advice and kind of being around, you know, like-minded people or people who are in the same like professional field as you or somebody, you know, in a different field, that I think that it's kind of good to feed off of each other for those type of things.
Okay. Yeah, you know, I wondered about that. You know, I'm a little different generation. I worked in a community years ago for 18,000 people, and I was the first Black administrator in local government there. And everybody treated me well, but it was also lonely at times, you know, and I think you can understand what I mean by that. So it's good to see that, again, this organization is kind of just providing that support for you all. Let's tell folks again, the event is called Shades of Excellence. It says hosted by the Anthonys. It takes place Saturday, November the 8th. What time is the event to begin?
6
p.m. And you can still get tickets if you're if you've heard the young lady speak today, board members speak today. You can still get tickets at the Fronthal Theater. If you don't have any plans for Saturday, this is a formal event, so you need to dust off your best suit or your best dress, give you a chance to dress up and go out and have a good time, have a good meal, and see some very positive people that are doing things in our community. All right. Ladies,
absolutely.
I want to give you an opportunity. How can people reach your organization?
So they can reach us a number of ways. We are pretty active on Facebook, but we also have a website, which is MuskegonYBP.org. And there we have kind of like an About Us section. We also talk about any events that we have coming up, and it also will link you to our Facebook page there. So usually I point people to the website or the Facebook page for any information.
Okay. Ladies, anything else that I forgot to ask you? I want to make sure we get you in. We got about 2 minutes of time left here. So I'll start with you, Ms. Day, give you a chance to throw anything out there that I didn't get a chance to ask you about your organization event coming up Saturday.
So the event is just a time for Muskegon to come out and celebrate us, especially us Black people here in the community. It's a great vibe. It's a great time to come out and celebrate us, celebrate our own. It gives something positive back. It is good vibe. So come out and socialize with us. You'll enjoy it.
All right. Commissioner-elect Jackson.
No, I don't have anything. Sorry, my dogs are acting freaking crazy. I don't have anything else to add besides they're being crazy. But I'm very excited for our fifth year. And it's going to actually be like an award show with like walk-up music and everything. So I'm really looking forward to seeing how much we've improved within the past 5 years. So,
okay, Ms. McCain, I'll give you the last word.
Okay, I just want to also thank you for this interview, and giving us exposure, you know, to people about what our organization is, as well as the event. I feel like one of the questions that I hear every year is, how do I get nominated or how do I win an award? So I just want to implore everybody that when we have those calls for nominations, that you nominate somebody, whether it's yourself, your cousin, somebody, because that's how we get, you know, the pool of candidates and make sure that we're giving people, you know, their flowers. So that we also do that. This is a fundraising event that we could not do without our sponsors. So I just want to take some time to thank our sponsors. We have Miller Noel Foundation, Consumers Energy, the Rotary Club of Muskegon, JCI of Muskegon, DTE Foundation, McCarthy Peace and Justice Fund, Parmenter Law, Trinity Health, Howmet, Muskegon, Black Wall Street, also the Community Foundation of Muskegon, and also the City of Muskegon. So again, this is an event that, you know, it costs money, but it also we're thankful for our sponsors that we're able to do this for our fifth year. And also, like I said, we have the scholarships that we're giving out this year. So just trying to make sure that we're pouring back into the community as they're pouring into us. So thank you again.
All right, ladies, thank you so much for joining us. Wish you success at your event. You're welcome to come back anytime if you have some things going on and talk about what's going on and invite people to our organization. It's been a pleasure having you all.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you, folks. This has been another episode of Community Focus. I want to thank you for joining us. Listen, as I close out this program, every week I try to say something encouraging or inspiring to you. You know, we've had two organizations talk about things going on in Muskegon. Most people know I come from a Christian and religious background. You know, there's a saying that your life is not your own. Find an opportunity to get involved outside of your own family, your own home. You're in a community. Find, you know, we talk to folks every week, organizations, clubs, find some place to put your hands to work and be a blessing to your community. I assure you, the benefits for it will be more than you could ever imagine. All right. Find a way to go out and be a blessing. Brother Gregory T, we'll miss you. Get well. Thank you to all the folks here at 103.7 The Beat for making me look good and sound good. We'll see you all next week.